for your presence in this room. Lord, I pray that all of us would be stirred out of our spiritual and psychological and complacency, and we would be drawn toward your presence. You would draw us, but oftentimes distraction turns our attention away and you draw us again, and distraction turns our attention away and you draw us again. Today I'm praying, Lord Jesus, that all of us would focus our minds, set aside our to-do lists, maybe put down our phones if necessary, and just focus on you for a little while. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody say, in Jesus' name. One more time, put your hands together. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We bless you. We worship you. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. My title today is The Point of a Party. Smile at your neighbor and say, do you know the point of a party? Full confession, I don't have any notes for this today. I have some stuff that I'm using as a type of pacifier, so if I got completely lost, didn't know where I was going, I could go back and at least grab a piece of another message and save myself from utter humiliation. That wouldn't have stopped me from getting a lecture on the way home from my better half, but many of you would not know that I was on my way home to various sorts of marriage discipline. But there's something I want to convey, and I want to share it if the Lord would help me to do that. And that is, I was this week, I was reminded and surprised again how many times Jesus teaches spiritual lessons in the context of what we would think of as a party. If you took social situations, the kind of things that we would have or we would do as a group of people, and you just took at party context, the context of having a party, I would remind you that Jesus tells more parables about parties than any other social or civic context. There's no other context. In fact, in Luke chapter number 15, when Jesus gives the three parables on lost things, there's the lost coin, there's the lost sheep, and there's the lost son. Luke 15. Every one of these stories ends the same way. They end with a party. When the lost coin is found, the woman calls her neighbors. It's not about the money. This coin is part of her inheritance from her family, and it's part of her social identity and her security net. That's what that giving of those coins are, and the people listening understand that. For us, we think, oh, it was just a quarter. No, it was very much a part of who she was and her community, the giving, and when she was betrothed, of her family and the dowry that went along with that. And so it's important to her, and when she finds it, she calls her neighbors and says, guys, let's have a party, y'all. Let's have a party. Now, second time, smile at the same neighbor and say, let's have a party, y'all. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. So the second context is the sheep. If you lose a sheep and your livelihood is attached to these livestock, and it, even if it's not yours, you're working for someone else, that's your job description. You lose the sheep, what do? Well, you put the 99 safe if you're like normal people. If you're not like normal people, you just put the 99 in there and says, hey, you know, I'm pretty happy with a 99% success rate. We'll just stay home. God is not happy with a 99% success rate. People matter. You're not an asset to God. People matter. It's like when I left my son on the side of we were switching drivers in the middle of the mountains, and it was dark, and we pulled off in this haunted, looked decrepit place where Nightmare on Elm Street could happen at any moment. And my son thought we were where we were going to go, and he was trapped in his screen life, which you parents don't know anything about your children and screen life. And me and Charlotte stop. We go around the car, around the front. We get back in. It's pitch black. We don't know he's gotten out of the car and is standing on the side of the road. And so we get back on the highway and we take off. Boom. And we leave how old was he then? He was like maybe 8. Ellery was just a baby, barely talking, so two-ish, so maybe nine. And so we leave our nine-year-old son on the side of the road in the middle of the North Carolina mountains, dark, and it looks like a set from Nightmare on Elm Street. And he's standing there holding his iPad while my wife's truck goes vroom, vroom, vroom right down the highway. We get a little ways down the road, and Ellery, just maybe two, maybe real young, maybe three, she goes, "What about Bubba?" We said, well, we ignored her the first three times because, you know, good parents. And what about Bubba? What about Bubba? And finally we hear, "What about Bubba?" And we stop. We realize the Durant's not in the back seat. We've left him on the side of the road. At that moment, my wife doesn't say, "Hey, we still have one of our kids." At that moment, she doesn't say, "Hey, 50-50, it's like a life thing, a life lesson." No, what do? You go into panic mode. And when I mean panic mode, I got hit with so much adrenaline when I realized my son wasn't in the car. I could have just thrown up right there so much when my body type, whatever, when I get hit with too much adrenaline, I literally can throw up. And I am like, oh God, oh God. I look like I know what's happened almost instinctively. Cars are tearing down the mountain. There's no place to turn around. Charlie's sitting there with a blinker and got to make a U-turn. I can't take it because I'm a much more aggressive driver than she is because I've accepted Christ as my personal Savior. And she hasn't done that yet, so she doesn't know how that biblical passage that the work of the Lord requires haste. Come on, somebody. Also, Pastor Don needs to read that scripture too because he don't know how to drive fast either. Now, Pastor Ed, stay out of his way. He will run you off in the ditch crying, "Jesus, take the wheel." I finally jump out of the truck and start running back up the highway, yelling at the top of my lungs, "Durant, Durant, I'm coming for you." And I'm like, run. And Charla's still waiting for a break in the traffic. I tell you what, if it wasn't for dads, none of these children would make it to adulthood. At no point do you count your kids and say, "Oh, I still have, you know, like Jimmy has 97 children, actually five children." And he doesn't say, "Oh, I still have four of my children." You go in. Why? People matter. And so what happens after he finds his lost sheep? He throws a party, somebody. Yes. What happens after the son comes home, the prodigal son? What do? He throws a party. Parties are more of a teaching context of than any other human, social, neighborhood type thing, parties. In fact, even more than that, Jesus likens the kingdom of heaven to a party that some people don't want to come to. We keep going. You're getting the ideas here. And he's like, "Oh, go into the highways and the byways and compel them to come." More than that, Jesus does his first notable miracle at a party. There's a theologian from, I believe it's Duke, who recently wrote a modern translation of the New Testament. The guy's just brilliant, and his translation was well-received and whatnot. But if you listen to any of the interviews that were done of him, in fact, I think the one I'm going to refer to was done by the New York Times. They interviewed him, and he's talking about the marriage, the water into wine. And he says this, and this is, again, a theologian, much more of an academic type than a pastoral type. He says this. He says, look, if you were going to make up a story about Jesus, the one thing you wouldn't do is do the first miracle at a wedding, and you wouldn't do it to save the honor of the DJ and the married couple. You would totally not do that. It's like this proves this was not made up. It's testimony. Because here you have Jesus at a party. Now, in these times, for us, parties go on 2 or 3 hours, and by the third hour, you know, some of us are ready to leave, like me and Beverly's ready to leave, and David's not ready to leave. David's like just getting started, praying over all the water, you know what I'm saying? But in these days, parties were 2 or 3 days. And so to run short of wine just means instead of a 3-day party, it was a 2-day party. I mean, come on. Some of these people are way too happy to be at your house, if you know what I'm saying. And 3-day party. And this is the context where Jesus does a miracle, saving the embarrassed hosts of the party. And then he does it quite at the request of his mother. And who would have put this miracle at a wedding. The point of a party, interestingly, and this is what I want to work around here too, is I want to kind of lay this out and then we'll come back to it in a minute. The point of the party is other people. The point of the party is other people. Do you realize you can eat cake all by yourself? I know someone just got a blessing right there. That is like, go forth, thou art healed. You can eat cake all by yourself, but it's funner at a party. You can dance all by yourself, but enough about me in the shower. But it's funner with other people. A party, here's the thing. If you ever are driving through one of the, you know, disreputable areas of town, and you see a guy on the side of the road or a gal on the side of the road, and they're dancing all by themselves, you know what that means? Those folks, they are flying. They are not of this world. They are flying. They're out by themselves. If you are partying by yourself, we might need to stage an intervention. But the moment you put, watch, other people there, the same motion, y'all don't want to see my dance moves. I don't know if my agent will let y'all see my dance moves, but you go by the street corner and if somebody's dancing all by themselves, say, hey, woo-hoo, break it down. Yesterday at our prayer tent, we had a gentleman come over here, Ernest was telling me, and he came on and he's evidently visited before and he just wanted to sing. And he started singing for like an hour. He just all over the church, he just outside, he just walked and sang all by himself. And you know, what's the first thing I said to Ernest? I was like, are you sure this guy was sober? And he's like, I don't know, it was could go either way. If you do it by yourself, it's like, are you okay? But if you add one person, all of a sudden, instead of the world thinking that guy might have some issues, they're thinking, ooh, that might be fun. The point of a party is to include other people in something that's good in your life. What do you do when you have time? Everybody, well, not everybody, but some of us love time by ourselves. What do you do when you have time by yourself? Oftentimes, the most common thing you will do by yourself is, wait for it, in some way escape your world. You will read a book. You ain't a character in the book. You'll watch a movie. You're not, honey, you ain't a movie star. I mean, I love you and all, but there's a reason why they didn't cast you for that part. You see what I'm saying? You escape your world by the book, if you're a nerd like me, or a movie, if you like movies. I watch some movies. I don't act like I don't. And that is very much a type of escape from your world. But when you have a party, you do not escape your world. What do? You include people in your world. There's a reason why you're having a party. It's our 30th wedding anniversary. We're going to have a party. It's my children. My child's getting married. We're going to have a party. My football team won. Bring it on, Lord. We're going to have a party. It's my child's coming of age. A party is never about escaping your world and celebrating something beyond your world. A party is about celebrating what is happening in your world and including other people in it. And this, I want you to see, is the point of a party and why Old Testament and New, the kingdom of God, is organized around series and sequences of celebration. Oh, I don't know if this side of the church heard what I just said. Y'all kind of got it a little bit, but this, y'all need to pray for these people over here, okay? The kingdom of God is a sequence of celebration. The uniqueness of the tabernacle of David. See how I'm preaching to y'all carnal people over here today? This is where all the PKs sit over here. That's why I'm preaching to this side over here. So the significance of the tabernacle of David was he took worship and added a party planner. he added the celebration. He's like, what do y'all play? You play the drums? Come on up here. We're going to have some fun here today. What do you play? Oh, you play the guitar? Come on up here. We're going to have some fun today. What do you play? The spoons. Okay, we can make spoons work. Come on up here. Now let's see what we can do. And the Bible said all manner of instruments they included in the worship. It had never happened before. They added a party planner to this system, this style of worshiping God. And pretty soon it felt more like a party than it did a duty. You will not understand the kingdom of God unless you understand it is this organized sequence of worship that feels like a party. Come on, somebody. Just because you've forgotten how to party doesn't mean the kingdom of God is not about having a spiritual party. Just because you formalized yourself and hide behind a stack of theological books does not mean the kingdom of God is not about putting your hands together, lifting up your voice in praise, shouting unto God with a voice of triumph, and celebrating everything he's done for me. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus entered in. All right, now back to the Old Testament, because some of you are like, there's not enough fear of the Lord in this house. All right, go back to the Old Testament just for you. Deuteronomy 16 and 16. Why don't you guys try to throw that up on the screen for me? They are responding. This is totally off the cuff, unprepared, and that's why they don't have notes. But see how fast they are? Those people right there. Proud of my children. All right, moving along. Deuteronomy 16 and 16. Three times a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose. Notice these three feasts. In the feast of unleavened bread, in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles. Notice this. They shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Three major celebratory parties is the Jewish year. And within these three major feast seasons, each one of these is a feast season, there are multiple other events, parties, devotions, memories, celebrations, offering sacrifices that happen within three complete feast seasons. Three is that biblical number of divine completion, and you have three seasons of the house of Israel's party. So just stay with me for a moment. I'm going to nerd out here for a moment, and maybe if you don't like that, you can catch me on the other side. But here is the first season of the, if you'll allow, the party slash worship calendar year. First feast is the season of Passover. This happens in the first month of the year. There is within this 3 days of specific memory celebration. The first one's the 14th day of the month, and that is Passover. You can read about this, Leviticus 23. That's the first big event that happens on the 14th day. The next one is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Passover is about redemption. I was unworthy. The death angel knew my address, but the Lord, with a sacrificial lamb and a blood of covering, has put a notification to judgment on my door that says mercy reigns here, not judgment. And so the death angel marches on bay. The next major event, the 15th day, is unleavened bread. And this is to remind them that when God set them free out of Egypt and brought them out of the land of their oppression, they did not have time to leaven their bread. They did not have time to put the leaven in it and to wait days while or hours, I'm not much of a baker myself, for it to rise up. And because they did not have time, it's as though the Lord says, eat it as it is. I will be the sweetness in your life. I will make you complete. I will make you whole. Even if you have to eat unleavened bread for a little while, freedom is worth it. Yeah. The third major event of the first party season of the year is the sheaf of first fruits. This is the 18th day. The very first thing that God gives you, harvest it, bring it as a sheaf, and we'll give it to the priesthood, and they will stand before the people. And in all of the first fruits that are brought to the tabernacle, the priest symbolically will hold up that first sheaf of harvest, and he will wave it to the heavens as a sign, all we have is yours, oh God. We wouldn't have anything. Is there anybody here who understands the power of that? I wouldn't have anything without your mercy, but because of your providence in my life, I am blessed. That's the first party season. Second party season happens in the third month, and this is the Feast of Weeks, also known as the Feast of Pentecost. This was the day later after the crucifixion of the Lord, that 50 days after his resurrection, they're all in one accord and in one place, and suddenly there was a sound as a mighty rushing wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. You guys know the story. The point is transformation. You are going forward into your destiny, you call your mission, but you're not going alone. I will be with you. Don't be afraid when they put you on the spot. I'll give you the words to say. Don't be afraid when they threaten you with violence. I am your peace. Don't be afraid when they mock you and scourge you. They did it to the Lord, but it does not stop the kingdom of heaven. This is the second big party season of the year. And the third big party season of the year is this passage here refers to, the Feast of Tabernacles. This is in the seventh month of the year. Again, you can read all of this in Leviticus 23. The thing to know about this is coming toward the end of the growth season. And so it is spread out over the whole month of the seventh month, which would be July. And that is first day of the month is the Feast of Trumpets. Trumpets have a very intentional significance of proclaiming victory to the people of God. That is why whenever the Lord arranges to end this dispensation of grace and take his bride home, it will be announced how? With the sound of trumpets. Somebody say amen. Amen. On the 10th day of the month is the Day of Atonement. I hope you're getting the idea that they're doing a lot of partying. 3 months of celebration. The Day of Atonement is on the 10th day, and finally, the Feast of Tabernacles is on the 15th to the 21st day. You heard that right. The 15th to the 21st day, 7 days of celebration. I would like to point out this here. The Old Testament did a much better job of celebrating what God had done for them in the form of a social event than we do. We don't do near as good a job as they do. And so maybe somebody needs to declare more party seasons at First Church. Maybe we need, what is the point of a party? Let me back up here and take you back to what I said earlier. So much of what happens at a party, if you did it alone, people would think maybe you had some mental health issues, which, I mean, you probably do, but that's a different issue. Can I have an amen? If you did that alone, if you were dancing with somebody, people were like, oh, they're having fun. I'm a little irritated that they're having more fun than me. But if you did the same thing all by yourself, your friends and neighbors might be like, are they okay? The point of the party is to express together something that has happened in your life, here and now. Not a book you read about someone else's life, not a TikTok video about somebody else's memory, not a movie about someone else's story, something that happened in your life. Therefore, this is the power of a party, a celebration in a religious context. I'll explain, and then I'm going to be done. so much of what we do, rather than asking people to join us in a celebration of something good that has happened to us, we as religious people spend a lot of energy telling other people what they should do so something good might happen to them. And then we wonder why it's not as many people come to our parties. We make our parties a type of I'm right and you're wrong. And when we invite people to our particular brand, style, taste, cooking culture of religion, we make it some version of we do it right, you do it wrong. If you invite people to party like that, you won't have as many people come. If you start your barbecue party like this, come to my house, you don't know how to cook barbecue, I do. There's going to be a lot of people who don't come to your barbecue party. Why? It's not any fun to argue about barbecue. It's fun to eat some barbecue, my God. We have parties like this. You are doing it wrong. We're doing it right. Quit doing it your way. Come do it our way. That is not how you get people to come to your party. You host a wedding. You say, I went to your party. It wasn't very pretty. Come to my party. I'll tell you how to do it. And then we wonder why no one comes to our... Sir, that's not how you host a party. A party is much simpler than that. A party goes like this. God's been good to me. I'm going to throw a party. It's going to be awesome. You're welcome to come and join in. And they're like, sure, let's see what's happening over there. And then they discover things like, whoa, that's the best wine I've had at any party. I'm going to have to say, you save the best till last. I don't have time to preach about the latter rain. I'm moving along. So the point being, there is one of, let me say it this way, one of the most powerful ways to include people in what God has done for you, i.e. your testimony, include people in your faith, what you are celebrating, is simply do something special and add people. Now, let me point out this, and then I'm going to talk about the biggest party we host all year. Musicians, you can come up and start playing something about how y'all ought to be a party animal and y'all ought to have more fun. Just write a song. That'll work well. So here's the deal. Of these feasts, how many of them are exclusive that you have to be of the house of Israel to join? We have this idea that the house of Israel, because they developed a culture of exclusion, that was intended by God. And this is a flawed belief. God always intended to have an open door culture to the outsider. In fact, say with me, this is why Jesus rebukes the temple. He runs them out of where? The court of the Gentiles. Not the holy place, not the holy of holies. He runs everybody out of where? The court of the Gentiles. And what does he say in the court of Gentiles? This place was supposed to be a house of prayer for who? All people. But you have turned it into a self-serve den of thieves. Okay. In these three party seasons, there was only one where the stranger and the pilgrim was not invited unless they were a convert. There was only one. There was only one that they were not invited to unless they were a convert. There's only one. And that is, are you ready for this? The Passover. The Passover. You have to have this righteous blood as a covering, or you're not going to avoid your date with death and judgment. That was the only one. They had to be a convert to be a part of that event. Are you ready for a surprise? All the other ones were welcome to whoever wanted to come. The Jews created a culture where no one wanted to come because they sought to have this excluding culture. But according to the Lord, all the other priests, all the other feasts are open to whoever would like to come. I would like to say this in conclusion. As a church, we need to do a lot better job at simply celebrating what God has done for us. I want to have a party about what God's done for me, and I'd like you to be invited. And you don't have to look like me to be invited. I'd like everybody to come. But Lord, some of them don't know what to dress. It's okay. We'll give them a jacket if they don't have a dinner jacket. But Lord, some of them aren't fancy people. It's okay. The fancy people don't have sense to know when it's raining outside. Go to the highways and the byways and compel them. Watch. Find the halt and the lame. Hallelujah. The outcast and the embarrassment.
Yes, come on.
And say, you're not an outcast here. And you're not an embarrassment here. Come to a party. Come to a party. Stand with me all across the house. Come to a party. 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 Throw a party. Come on, somebody. Throw a party. Throw a party. Invite somebody. Don't make it a debate. Throw a party. Don't make it a disagreement. Throw a party. Don't comment on their parties. Just host them at a party. I would love us as a church to find at least two, maybe three Sundays a year where we find a reason, either as a church or as individual units, families, individuals, where we can say to all of our unchurched friends, I'm going to have a resurrection party at my house on the Saturday before Easter. And I'd like you, or Sunday after church, and I'd like you just to come and let's just have a party. Let's just celebrate. And they think to themselves, well, I don't need... There is something that happens socially in the connection between human hearts when you have a reason to join together and celebrate something. And there's no better way to tell your testimony than to say, all right, let me tell you why I'm celebrating here today. Y'all know me now. But I want y'all to know I wasn't always fancified and glorified like I am right now. God's been good to me. Yes. Pass the potato salad, please. This is some good potato salad, y'all. I would probably be dead right now if it wasn't for the change of heart that happened in my life toward God. Is there any carne asada left? Come on, somebody. Bring that carne. Is there any jerk chicken left on that side of the table? Stay calm, Don. Stay calm. Lord Jesus, you've been so good to us. You've so richly blessed us. Forgive us for hiding under a bushel. The gift of God in our life. Forgive us for not knowing how to host a party. Church style. Forgive us for not knowing how to invite a neighbor celebration style. And teach us how to throw a party and invite somebody to come to it. In Jesus' name I pray. I rebuke a spirit of fear that keeps people hiding under a bushel because they're worried about what someone will think of them, or they're afraid of what someone, if it's free food, Lord, help them to see that's the universal love language right there. And their hearts can be open to their community. I pray that this church, our extended church, both locations, there would be a culture of inclusion, a culture of celebration, a culture of saying, come rejoice for me, with me. I have found my sheep that was lost. We're not talking about whether or not I lost them because I wasn't doing a good job. We're simply having a party. Come celebrate with me. My son that was lost has come back home. We're not going to talk about what he did wrong. They're not going to talk about what he didn't like about me. We're just going to celebrate how good it is to be restored with people we love. Let that sit deeply in our spirit, oh God. In Jesus' name I pray. So here's your two-week warning, three-week warning. Next Sunday will be a two-week warning. There might be a way Easter can be a cause for you to celebrate. There might be a way that Easter is a good justification to invite your neighbors over. It might be that Easter is a great reason to open your heart. Talk to your small group. See about celebrating something and just call it a resurrection party, not church. We're just going to celebrate. Can you receive that today in Jesus' name? That's not a great altar call sermon, I know. It's more of a life challenge sermon. If you have any needs here today, anybody you specifically have a need in your body.
Thank you for listening to First Church Charlotte. If this podcast has blessed you, please rate it with 4 or 5 stars. By doing so, you will help others find our free podcast and bless them. If you're in the Charlotte, North Carolina area, come worship with us at 4929 North Sharon Amity Road. For information about service times, church ministries, and so much more, visit us online at firstchurchclt.com. If you would like to help support our efforts, please text GIVE to 704-445-5353. We pray God's richest blessings to you. Come, worship with us. Thank you.